Dear saints, grace, mercy, and peace be from God the Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You remember when you were kids, those certain days of the year where you wake up rejoicing? Whether that be Christmas, because you knew the gifts would be under the tree, or maybe it was your birthday, or your mom and dad's birthday, or maybe it was some other day. Maybe it's the first day you don't have to wake up for school because it's winter break or summer break. You'd wake up rejoicing. As adults, we still have those moments. And depending on the year, those same days come with rejoicing to some extent, because we're excited to see what is to come. And if we're parents, we're excited to see, do the kids like what's in the wrapping paper? And there it is. On top of that, especially with Christmas, we wake up rejoicing. Even as kids, it's the day the Savior is born. And there's special services both on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, and we're excited and joyful. And it's exciting. And as adults, there's even other days. Maybe it's our day off on the week, or it's our first day of vacation, and we're rejoicing by staying in bed a little longer. Excited the night before, but we're going to sleep in that next day. Though, when you have young children, it doesn't always work out that way. But you still rejoice with their excitement and their joy. Our world finds its joy not where we do, though, does it? The world sets up everything, and it seems to be sliding into decline as it goes, doesn't it? What they rejoice in is things and stuff and those who would bring it. And they create a construct based on how much money they can make and what money can be won for them. And they'll even use imagery, as we discussed with the kids the other week, based on St. Nicholas of old, a church tradition of which we celebrate the commemoration and feast day on Wednesday, the 6th this year. And there it is, right? We look at it and we say, what's going on? Because now Santa Claus is this imagery for the world and corporations that isn't what it was meant to be. And there, within that, the decline comes. Well, how can we remove joy to give it back? What happens when you're a naughty kid? As the song says, he has a list of good boys and good boys. Good boys and good girls and naughty boys and naughty girls. Right? You get coal instead of a gift. You get nothing instead of a gift. It's taken away. This is where our sin goes with the world. We seek joy from things that don't last. We fall into sin, as the prophet Isaiah points out to us, that there we are poor in our sin. We are bound up and captive, broken-hearted, as it were, in the prison of sin, death, and Satan's tyranny. Our joy has been sucked dry from us, and even the joys of this life don't seem as bright as they may have used to. And there it is, like Cain, we get angry and upset. And for Cain, that led to the death of his brother. For us, that might lead to hatred in our heart, or not talking to those we care about, or shutting out the world, or our neighbors in some way. And it is this sin that angers God. It's this sin of which the Lord seeks vengeance for. But instead of seeking it from you, he chose to bear that burden. And so, in the parallel to those sins and those captivity and that bondage and brokenheartedness and that poorness of our souls because of sin. The Lord comes saying this. And this words we'll discuss of whose they are specifically in a moment. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall rise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. In response to that devastation, there it is, a repairing and rebuilding of God's people and of what was once the city of God. And we know this to be the new heavens and the new earth to come because of the Savior. These words given to the prophet Isaiah to speak were the words of the coming Savior. And this was the prophecy of what he was going to do for his people, for those who lived in the time of Isaiah, to those who lived in the time of Christ, to each and every one of you sitting here and all those in between. This is his promise to each and every one of you. And this is the joy we have to rejoice in, that there he comes to comfort and care for each and every one of you, not just in this life, but for all eternity, that there he bore the burden of sin and death and Satan's tyranny for each and every one of you, that there he would quench your mourning, your grieving, and give you the peace and the hope that is yours in the blood of Christ, that there he would give you, as we celebrate on this Gaudete Sunday, this Greek and Latin phrase that gives us the reminder of rejoicing. This Gaudete Sunday, this tradition of the church that comes with a special separation from the rest of Advent to remind you of the joy that is in your Savior, the joy that is in Christ alone, of what you rejoice in. Now we remember as kids what we rejoiced in, but here it is, the prophet shows us even more of what we have. We're excited for the coming Savior. We rejoice the Lord came in the flesh and walked among us, our God Emmanuel, God with us. And here the Lord continues to the prophet Isaiah, "For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. But I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their offspring shall be known among the nations, and their descendants in the midst of peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are an offspring the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exalt in my God. And for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations." Those last couple of verses, worthy words of Isaiah the prophet rejoicing. And before that, the Lord giving even further blessing to his people through the coming Savior. The Savior we know to be Jesus Christ, the one who came and died and rose and ascended for you. And he's the one who will return to us as of old. And this is the same Jesus, the same God that St. Paul says this of. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, he will surely do it. You see, while we struggle in sin, while this life isn't always easy, and things aren't always the way we want them to be, and tragedies happen both individually and in the world and in our communities, the Lord calls us to rejoice always. Not because things in this life are perfect, but because our God is with us. And there he teaches us in his Spirit to rejoice. He teaches us in his Spirit to pray to him, that we would strive to pray without ceasing, that we have this conversation with God that is never ending, to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ. This is what he's done for you. He comes to teach you to turn from your sin, abstain from every form of evil. And there it is, he seeks to make you holy. For he is your God, who is the God of peace. And this is what we see St. John doing in the wilderness. Right? As we discussed, it's a bit strange to our ears to have a man dressed in camel's clothes, eating locust and honey, but there he is, receiving his daily bread as God has promised. And he being there, even though the Pharisees and the ones they sent and the scribes and all the teachers of the law of their day didn't recognize the fulfillment of God's word, he is there because God keeps his promises. His mom and dad, not expecting to have children, had been barren well past the age. Here comes John. What joy and excitement they had. Though a bit doubtful on John's dad's part, he was mute for a time until John was born. He said, his name shall be called John. This is the final prophet promised of old. And John tells us he's neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet. And the prophet is Isaiah, is who they're referring to. He says, as he fulfills the prophecy, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. This is the fulfillment. And here it is, the point to a greater fulfillment, that Jesus will come and fulfill all of God's word and the prophecies herein. And there, as we now wait after his death and resurrection and ascension, we know because God kept his word and fulfills his promises and the prophecies and the Psalms and all of God's word, that he will keep his promise, that there Christ will return. And what a joyous day that will be when we will rejoice at the trumpet sound as the Lord comes to raise the dead to life. And this is the one at whom John points when he says, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. This is the Savior of whom he speaks, the one who gives you life and gives it to you abundantly. He is the one who the psalmist speaks of. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. One of the greatest sounds, I think, in the entire earth is the laughter of the littlest of mankind. Some, like Clara, are a bit more silent, though when she gets going with a good belly laugh, I tell you, you can't help but smile and laugh with her. The laughter of children reminds us of the joy and the rejoicing we have. It's why, as parents, when we were kids, we'd go and wake our parents up. They were hoping to sleep on Christmas Day until like 7 or whatever, however much time there was before church. They were hoping to sleep to that last minute to get ready to go to church. But we as children would run in at 5 or 5:30. Wake up, wake up, wake up, it's Christmas. The Lord is born, we're excited. And guess what, there's also gifts under the tree. Mom and Dad get up, rub their eyes, give a yawn, and they walk out with their kids with a smile on their face. Not because they're upset for missing a couple hours of sleep, but because they're excited to share the joy of the Savior with their children and to give gifts to remind them of the love they have, but more importantly, the love God has for them and the joy they have in their Savior. And so as we sing this day, see the Lamb so long expected, comes with pardon down from heaven. Let us haste with tears of sorrow, one and all to be forgiven. So when next he comes in glory, and the world is wrapped in fear, he will shield us with his mercy and with words of love drawn near. This is your God's promise. He loves you and forgives you. And as we would be wrapped with fear in our sin, he wraps us with love. In his holy love, he wraps you, that there you receive the joy that flows from the body and blood of your dear Savior, Jesus Christ, that comes to you in the waters of holy baptism, that you are a child of God, who receives forgiveness, salvation, and life eternal. And there it is, that your God, who is the God of love, comes to you with those words of love, and he draws near to each and every one of you. So may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.